This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, public health officers across the country are quitting amidst nasty treatment by some members of the public. Plus, voters in Colorado could see up to 11 statewide ballot questions this November. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
The fast-growing Pine Gulch fire burning north of Grand Junction had reached 9,200 acres by Wednesday afternoon. Firefighters are working to protect 14 structures, but no one has been evacuated yet. The fire is producing a great deal of smoke, prompting an air quality advisory for northern Mesa County. 232 personnel are now on hand to fight it, and containment remains at 5%. As a reminder, all wildfires are no drone zones. When people operate drones near wildfires, firefighting aircraft cannot do their work. The worst of the COVID-19-induced recession may now be over for Colorado businesses, according to a new report from the University of Colorado, Boulder. The Quarterly Business and Economic Indicators report shows that the number of existing businesses in good standing, trademarks, and trade names have all increased compared to last year at this time. That means the state economy has a solid base and is better positioned for recovery than many other states. Secretary of State Jenna Griswold commented that the state is still being impacted by COVID-19. Griswold said, quote, "Although there are some positive signs, economic recovery is dependent on the management of the virus," end quote. Oil and gas drillers in Colorado will have to pay more to the state panel that oversees them, reports the Grand Junction Sentinel. The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission voted Tuesday to increase its mill levy. That will help it cover a drop in operating dollars caused by a decline in revenue and state budget cuts due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The increase should raise an additional $3.4 million. The commission has also cut expenses as it works to implement SB 181. That bill, passed last year, changes the organization's mission from fostering oil and gas production to putting human health, safety, and environmental impacts first. Both environmental groups and industry representatives supported the tax increase. For KVNF News, this is Jody Peterson.
Colorado voters could see up to 11 statewide ballot questions in November. KVNF's Capitol coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Seven initiatives have already earned a place on the ballot, including efforts to reintroduce gray wolves and increase taxes on nicotine products. Supporters of another five measures submitted signatures before a Monday deadline. Those range from establishing a paid family leave program to lowering the state's income tax rate. The Secretary of State's office has 30 days to review the signatures to see if the petitions will qualify for the ballot. Residents say they had a harder time collecting them this year because of the coronavirus pandemic. The state Supreme Court struck down an order from Governor Jared Polis that would have allowed signatures to be collected electronically. As a result, some ballot initiatives, including one that would have increased setbacks on oil and gas wells, were pulled this year. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
From grocery store workers to nurses to EMTs, there are a lot of tough but necessary jobs to do during this pandemic. That includes public health officers who are often in charge of coronavirus response at a local level. But since April, a wave of public health officers across the country have called it quits. With support from America Amplified, the Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie explains.
For Dr. Lori Drum, it all began with a canceled rodeo.
The rodeo attracts many, many people from all over the state.
Sitting in the stands together, drinking beers, and watching bull riding for a couple of hours in the hot summer sun. But during a pandemic, Drum says, that isn't a great idea.
There would be no way to enforce social distancing and the wearing of masks.
So as the part-time public health officer in rural Deer Lodge, Montana, she canceled it. And soon after the news got out, around 30 people showed up at the hospital where Drum works at full-time as a family physician.
Some of the people were waving the Constitution.
And they argued Drum's ruling was way out of bounds. The gathering came after months of grumblings and online name-calling from what she says are a small but vocal group of locals angry at her response to COVID-19. But showing up like that at the hospital was the last straw for Drum.
Basically, an angry group came to my place of employment. And I can't control that from happening, but I can control the reason they want to come here to see me. So I felt like I had to resign so that that wouldn't happen again. I was concerned about the safety for the hospital.
Drum's resignation follows more than two dozen other public health officers who have left their posts across the country since April. Some resigned because of political pushback and others because of threats. Graham Mooney is a public health historian at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He says the wave of resignations is unprecedented, but the anger directed at public health officials is not.
Certainly there have been public protests and demonstrations against public health regulations in the past.
Sometimes these protests even got violent. In Milwaukee in 1894, an angry mob of thousands threatened public health officials with knives and clubs during a smallpox outbreak. Many didn't want their children taken to hospitals and didn't believe the virus needed medical attention.
Yeah, the demonstrations were so vociferous and the complaints so loud that the public health doctor, he was eventually kicked out.
In fact, in the late 19th century, Mooney says both regular Americans and politicians were constantly airing grievances against public health officials. They had fights over everything from mandatory vaccinations to new health guidelines to fighting epidemics.
I can tell you from working in archives that public health people propose things all the time that politicians decide to disagree with or not enact.
But as the United States got more sanitary and disease outbreaks lessened, Mooney says public health officials receded into the background. Until now.
I was surprised and I felt that my authority was somewhat undermined.
That's Ravalli County Public Health Officer Carol Calderwood in Montana. She submitted her letter of resignation after county commissioners said they wouldn't enforce the governor's mask mandate.
We have a great mutual respect. It's just that somehow this communication broke down and I felt really blindsided by this decision and that somehow we're just not operating as an effective team.
Calderwood was also just plain exhausted. In addition to her work in public health, she's also a family physician. That meant she was working 7 days a week and having to deal with things like veiled threats coming into the health department. Nurse Tiffany Weber often fielded those.
They were vague, but they were always things like, there'll be consequences for what you've done. And it's enough to kind of just make you step back and take a different view of what's happening around you, and you're just shocked.
But she and Calderwood also understand where this anger's coming from. Ravalli County is a prime example of America's love affair with rugged individualism. People here don't like being told what to do. But during a pandemic, Weber says,
We can't focus on a person's rights or individual feelings. We have to look at the bigger picture.
Weber wishes she could bottle up the pain she's seen from those infected by the virus and show it to the skeptics.
You know this person. You've seen her at the grocery store. We're still a small community. We're not that big. You know, you've seen them at the Brew Fest or at the Ravalli County Fair. You've seen them. You know, they're a person too. And now they're sick.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
That concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.